Good day, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Confessions of Extraordinary Catholics. A group of people that are extraordinary Catholics here in America are immigrants. People who have come here primarily through the southern borders, and then they come in and enrich our culture. Certainly true for many Catholic parishes. It's not at all unusual to have a Hispanic Mass in many parishes now, and many have come and enriched our culture and understanding, and it's been a great blessing. But unfortunately, many don't look at it that way. In many people's eyes, whoever comes here that's an immigrant, they're looked down upon. They may be referred to as those people. They're not welcomed. And I think it's important to understand what theology we hold to when it comes to immigrants. There is a theological basis for immigration that we'll look at a little bit later. But think about how difficult it is for many people to make their way to our border. The news organization DW had a reporter that followed three migrating people from Venezuela. Of course, in Venezuela, conditions are very bad. No jobs, very little to eat. People who are looking for an opportunity to primarily find a place to work, to be able to subsist, to have something to eat. So they're looking. In this particular episode, it spoke of these who, and they came to Colombia. And when they got to the nation of Colombia, they looked for work, could find no work. They looked for some place to stay, and they were able to stay in one place temporarily, but they had to pay for that. So they would go out each day and look for work. They found no work, so they were eventually kicked out of this place where they stayed temporarily. And think of the duress that they went through. Nothing to eat. Had to stay on the street at this point. So where do they go from there? Many decide that they want to make their way to our border of America. So the track from South America through Central America, starting in Panama and working your way up through Central America, is 2,888 miles, or 2,088 miles. It's a 44-hour drive. But you don't have any car, you don't have any money. You're trying to make your way up, so you walk it most of the way. You're hoofing it. And it takes you days and days and weeks and weeks. And you finally make it to Mexico. You're getting closer. But you still have another 2,000 miles to go, 2,200 miles. And you have to make your way all the way through Mexico. And in Mexico, you can't just take a bus. More than likely, you don't have any money anyway. And they won't give you a bus ticket if you're a migrant going through Mexico. So you hoof it. You're making your way through Mexico. And you're a target. You're a target for gangs. You're a target to be used for prostitution, for forced labor. Children are abducted and used in the sex trade. Or you're having to pay off a great debt to a gang that helps you escort through Mexico. And you have to basically join a gang to make it. So you have a big payback when you finally do make it to America and find a job, or you have to join a gang when you get here. One of the ministries that helps migrants when they get to Texas is the Assumption House in El Paso, Texas. The Assumption House basically gives migrants temporary shelter and clothing and food, a place to shower, a short-term stay that you can be there, get some medical attention, to get some clothing, to contact relatives and help migrants make a transition. The Abbott administration, of course, doesn't like them. They've been there for many years, many people for decades. They've been ministering there. All of a sudden, they're given a subpoena by the Attorney General from Texas, Ken Paxton. And the subpoena says, you hand over all your records or else we're going to shut you down tomorrow. Ruben Garcia, who runs the shelter there, had one day to turn over his documents or face foreclosure. Of course, it was brought up to court, and the judge, when he heard the case, ruled in favor of the Assumption House. He blocked the efforts of Ken Paxton and that administration from shutting them down. There was a statement in the Texas Tribune that was insightful, I believe. It said, the efforts came as religious figures were emboldened by the rise of Christian nationalism, and they continue to demonize migrants and those who aid them. So we have one particular party who, again, wants to demonize migrants. And, of course, we have that thought going on all over the place. And most of us, I think we would agree, we need to have border control. You just can't open up everything. We're not helping anyone with that. But at the same time, one political side wants to kick the can to the other side, thinking it's you're to blame. Now, what happened when a busload of migrants showed up at Martha's Vineyard? They didn't stay there, I can tell you that. They weren't welcomed with open arms there because they're still viewed as those people. You need to find a place for those people. That brings me back to dignitas infinita. Human dignity, infinite dignity. Every person has infinite dignity. And what mars it in people, we've considered a couple of things, poverty and also war. There's many others, but instead of viewing people as precious, made in God's image, every individual having infinite worth because of that, we look at them in a different way. Dignitas Infinita says migrants are among the first victims of multiple forms of poverty. Not only is their dignity denied in their home country, I mean, think about it. The reason they're leaving somewhere is because they want to eat. What would you do? If you didn't have a job, you didn't have anything to eat, you and I would probably do the same thing. We want to go somewhere where we can find a job, where we can provide for ourselves. But it's denied in the home country, but also their lives are put at risk because they no longer have the means to start a family, to work, or to feed themselves. And once they arrived in countries that should be able to accept them, migrants are not seen as entitled like others to participate in the life of society, and it is forgotten that they possess the same intrinsic dignity as any person. It becomes us versus them. They don't have the same kind of privileges that we have because they're illegals. Most of us here in America are immigrants. Very few Native Americans. We put them all somewhere else when we colonialized America. But most of us came from some kind of an immigration. For me, it was German. For others, it's Irish, or it's Hispanic, or it's Asian, or there was forced migration with African Americans. Many other ethnic groups that help make this country a great country. But we've come to a place where it's going to be increasingly difficult because there's a growing sentiment, and part of that is because of the psyche of Christian nationalism. Immigrants are going to be the ones who get blamed for many things that happen here in America, and we're already seeing that ramped up. The news media is quick to point out when an immigrant commits any crime. Instead of saying that that's a criminal, it's a criminal. Somebody that breaks the law is a criminal. What's brought to bear is the fact that it's an immigrant. Well, many more crimes are committed by people here that are residents. Many more. But it's harped on again and again and again. The same thing has been done in black communities for years, where it's mentioned that this person is a black. Well, it's a criminal. Whenever you commit a crime, whether you're white or black or Hispanic or whatever you are, it's a criminal. Every person, though, has worth, has value, has infinite value. A compassionate attitude and recognition of immigrants has always been part of America. Now, we've had, whenever there's a new immigrant band or ethnic group that came to America, they weren't accepted at first. And in fact, it was difficult for each one of them. When the Irish came, they were the forced laborers. The Germans were thrust aside, and many of them took the opportunity to be able to get some land in different places so that they could start their own homes and communities. But every group, and it's certainly true for Hispanics, the ones who are coming from different South American countries and Central America, there's a rough road to hoe. But I think that what we need to do as Catholics is have an understanding. We need to have an understanding of how we treat migrants that comes from the Word of God. And it's important to understand, as we consider this area, there's three principles I just want to bring across very quickly here. And that is, we need to understand that treating foreigners, migrants, those who are strangers that come to our land, that treating them with dignity is rooted in an Old Testament theology of justice. And that same theology carries over into the New Testament. We could say it's a New Testament theology of justice. But it's rooted in the Old Testament. It's rooted in the Torah. The Torah, when we come to Genesis, or when we come to Exodus chapter 20, we have, of course, the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. Most of us know it very well. But there's also a moral code when it comes to how we treat migrants, how we treat strangers. We read in Exodus chapter 22, "You shall not oppress or afflict a resident alien. For you were once aliens residing in the land of Egypt." Don't forget, you were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. You were aliens. So when you find an alien in your midst, don't oppress them. Don't afflict them. Remember where you came from. "You shall not wrong any widow or orphan." What's interesting, in the Old Testament law, in the Torah, the alien is put together with the orphan and the widow. These are ones who are vulnerable to being taken advantage of in many different ways. And these are the ones, according to God's standard of justice, you're to protect, that you're not to oppress in any way. It says, after this, my wrath will flare up, and I will kill you with the sword. Then your own wives will be widows, and your children orphans. He says, if you ever do wrong to them, and they cry out to me, look out, orphan, widow, alien. Pretty strong words we find in the Torah concerning how we treat the alien, the orphan, the widow. And again, the exhortation is, remember, you are aliens yourself. We come to chapter 23, again, part of that Mosaic law, the Torah that's given, God's moral imperatives, which we have reflected in the Ten Commandments, but also in how we treat other people. It says, you shall not pervert justice for the needy among you in a lawsuit. You shall keep away from anything dishonest. The innocent and the just you shall not put to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. Never take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and distorts the house of the just. You shall not oppress the resident alien. You well know how it feels to be an alien, since you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. These words that God uses for stranger, for alien, he reminds them again and again that you were aliens yourself. Remember that. Have compassion, as you would for the orphan and the widow. Justice. It's a matter of justice. That standard of justice has not changed. It's not changed for the church, for the New Testament. It's not changed in the teaching of Jesus Christ, who is the new lawgiver. He emphasized the fact that we need to be careful how we treat the stranger. When we come to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25, we have the nations who are judged here in this context. All the nations are judged. And what are they judged on? How they treat the Xenos. Xenos! And we have a word that we use to help us understand that word Xenos. It's a stranger, a foreigner, somebody from the outside. We use the word xenophobia. Someone has a fear of a stranger or a dislike of a stranger. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, he brings it to himself. It's a Christology. He says, however you treat them is how you treat me. It gets more personal. He's the Son of God. He's God himself. And how you treat that stranger, how you treat that alien, is how you're in actuality treating him. The nations, they say, well, how did we do this? And he said, well, did you feed me? Did you clothe me? How did you treat me as a stranger? You welcomed me. I was in prison. You visited me. How we treat every human being is in actuality how we treat Jesus Christ. Think about that the next time that you want to talk about these who are less human than we are, have less rights than we have, that we want to send back where they came from, even if they're going to starve to death. Think about that, what we're doing. With our immigration policy, or lack thereof, we have to keep it in mind. This is going to be another great flashpoint. Just like right now, there's a flashpoint going on in campuses, and that's going to spread too because of warfare, because of ideological warfare back and forth. This is going to be a major flashpoint here in America. Because one candidate says, well, we'll send them all back. Well, you don't even know where they are. Where are you going to send them back to? How are you going to do that? It doesn't make any sense. And then what do we do with children that have been born here since different ones have that came? And they're citizens, but their parents may not be. So you're going to send the parents back, but not the children? That policy is just trying to cater to a sentiment in America, Christian nationalism, that wants to make America great again. But in many people's eyes, we've never been great. Many immigrant groups have had to come and fight their own way, because when they came, there was other groups of people who thought that they were going to distract from the greatness of America. But they stayed here, and they fought, and they became Americans. Many of them fought in our wars, and they became great assets to our nation. It can happen again. Of course, we need to root out lawlessness. We need to weed out the gang activity. We should not welcome those who are criminals. But there's not a vital vetting process that's going to determine that, because many want to kick the can to the other side instead of dealing with it. There's one other thing that I want to say concerning this whole area. And that is, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are an alien. We have to keep in mind that we're strangers, we're aliens in this world. And we ought to understand that, because what's happened, if we belong to Christ, is we belong to His kingdom. And because we belong to His kingdom, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. It's not here on earth. We can thank God for the privilege of good citizenship here on earth, but our main citizenship, we are told in Scripture, is in heaven. And from there, we eagerly await a Savior. Peter said, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and sojourners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against the soul. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you've been joined with Him in His death and resurrection, if you've come to faith in Him, you belong to another kingdom. This world is, of course, temporary. At best, we're only here for a short period in time, but our permanent home is in heaven. And those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what their ethnic background is, they are fellow brothers and sisters, and we have more of a kinship with them than we do with others who may be in our own country. Because the Church of God goes to all nations, all nations. Christ redeemed us with His own precious blood, and it applies to every nation, to everyone who is a believer. And when someone comes to faith in Christ, that person is our brother or our sister. It's important to keep that in mind. We're all aliens. Don't think it's just those who are migrating to our country. We all feel it in this world. We feel like if you're living for Christ, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel like, well, this isn't my permanent home. There's something wrong with this place here called the world. My soul is oppressed in some ways because it's not our permanent home. This isn't where we belong eternally. We belong to the kingdom of Christ. And we're all the same in that kingdom. Migrants, how we view them. It's a matter of justice. that we view them with human dignity, because they're all made, all of us are made in the image of God. There is no one superior to another just by virtue of the fact that you belong to a certain nation. If we treat them with disdain, that's what we really think about Jesus Christ, because he's the one who said, it's how you treat these that you actually treat me. And then we are all strangers and aliens in this world. Thank you for being with me. I hope that God will increase our compassion and not view those who we rub elbows with, either at Walmart or at church or other places on the workplace, not as those people. It's we people. It's all together. We're in this together. And it's important that we keep that at the center of our focus. Thank you for being with me today.